The Prime Minister is out and about this morning promoting the government's changes to the skilled migration scheme. He says the overhaul will mean more jobs for Australian workers.
Well, certainly there'll be more opportunities for Australians to get jobs. The reality is that we have to make sure that Australian jobs are for Australians first and foremost. This is about putting Australians first, Australian jobs first, Australian values first.
Malcolm Turnbull on AM this morning promising that Australian workers will have first dibs on vacant positions. We also spoke to Josh Frydenberg, who said there'd be thousands of Australians who were able to get a job under this new arrangement. As we heard earlier on the program, business groups say the surprise abolition of the 457 visa should help restore public confidence in the skilled migration program. But unions are not convinced. Daniel Walton is the National Secretary of the Australian Workers Union. Welcome to RM Breakfast.
Good morning.
Australian jobs for Australian workers is the philosophy underpinning these changes to the foreign visa program. Unions would welcome that, wouldn't they? That's what you've been arguing for.
Sure, but what we've seen yesterday was fundamentally a rebranding exercise. You'd be mistaken for thinking that the problems with the 457 visa schemes were that workers didn't speak enough English or they didn't have enough background checks to come in and work in Australia. That is simply not the issue at hand. The problem that we've got is that there's a vast range of occupations where workers can come in from overseas and take jobs that would ordinarily go for Australians. And what we've long argued is there's not enough labour market testing and not enough rigour in the system.
Okay, but that has been promised in these changes, more market testing, more rigour in the system. That's at the heart of this, isn't it?
Sure, but the labour market testing, if you have a look in the UK, it's actually reviewed independently. At the moment, employers aren't measured by any standard in terms of what labour market testing they've done. And so what we find quite often is some visa categories that have to engage with employees, be it their unions, and tell them that they're planning to bring in workers. And I can tell you the example in the dairy industry in particular, where we've had a number of employers write to us to say they can't find employees and so that they need to bring in overseas workers on various visas. And we've asked for the evidence to say, well, show us where you've advertised for these positions and show us in terms of what market rates you're going to apply. And not one single employer has responded with that evidence.
Okay, but under these changes, because that's what we're talking about here, the changes they've outlined, they will have to advertise. So the scenario you've just described would be dealt with.
No, there's no detail in terms of how they're going to monitor it. And I understand the Prime Minister was on this morning and didn't provide any detail in terms of what the government will do to make sure that labour market testing in place.
Okay, but he has promised broadly that he would be doing these things, the things you describe. You might want to see the detail of exactly how they will police that. But broadly, the concept of advertising for the jobs first, they're going to do it.
Sure, they've said that. As they've said, they stand up for Australian workers. What we know is that in 2013, the Prime Minister voted against stricter labour market testing. In 2016, in November, the Prime Minister again voted against further controls around labour market testing. And so for us...
Okay, that's what he's done in the past, and
sure,
there's no doubt about it. No, you know, that's on the record. You know, no one's going to argue about facts. But right now, this is the policy they've announced.
Yeah, this is the policy announced with no detail whatsoever. So all we can do is rely upon what they've done in the past. And what they've done in the past is provide a system which has allowed unscrupulous employers to take advantage of overseas workers who are fearful of their jobs and fearful of standing up for their rights, fearful of raising safety. All of this is simple window dressing, and we don't believe there's going to be any significant change, which is going to provide further opportunities for Australians to get access to these jobs.
If you're just tuning in, this is RM Breakfast, and Daniel Walton is my guest. He's the National Secretary of the Australian Workers Union. But how can you just call it a rebranding exercise when the new temporary visas will include these stronger labour market testing to try to make sure vacancies are first offered to local workers? Are you just trying to politicise this? That's how it sounds to me, because ultimately everything that you are describing that you would like to see happen has been announced by the government.
So the reason why I say it's a rebranding exercise, the name 457 visas tests extremely well in the public that people don't like it. People want them gone. That's
There's no doubt they're getting rid of the name because people don't like it.
Exactly.
But they're also getting rid of some of the rules.
So what they've done is they've shortened the list, right? So for yourself, it's a benefit. So radio journalists are no longer on the list of 457 visa workers. But if you work in manufacturing, if you work in construction, if you work in agriculture, your occupations are riddled throughout it. What we've always long argued is there needs to be tougher rigour, but there also needs to be tougher controls around when the economy changes. When the mining boom dropped off, those occupations which have been heavily used in the mining boom are still on the occupational list now. What we say is We should be monitoring it more often. And when we have a surplus of labour coming off downflow, like mining, that those opportunities should be provided to Australians.
Okay, you're talking a lot about the detail, that you don't trust the details, so you're going past statements. When you see more of the detail, because the government no doubt will obviously, and they say in the budget, we'll see a lot more as well, detail all of these changes, you know, to the letter. Are you prepared to support this if you think that they will be true to their word when they say they want to make more, you know, rigorous labour testing?
Yeah, if the detail matches up, absolutely. I mean, there's positive announcements around obviously providing some additional training. You know, those headlines sound fantastic, but we've long believed that the devil is in the detail here. History says that this government will do nothing to support Australian workers getting access to these jobs. The lineup of the business community, one after another, to say that these are great announcements makes me believe that there's not going to be any fundamental changes because it's worked in their interest today.
So you're worried that business hasn't condemned this enough?
Some slight concerns that have been raised are quite small. They're very small concerns. Largely, the business community has come out in support of the Prime Minister's announcements, which leads me to believe that there's not going to be fundamental changes because this system has always worked in their interest.
Okay, but most sides of this debate, including business, say that they agree that there are real skills shortages in some industries and that training is a significant problem. The government looks set to address this in the budget, with the PM confirming this morning that companies will be forced to pay into this new national fund to train Australian workers. You say the headline there, it looks good, via this new foreign worker tax. So you do think that's a step in the right direction? That is something that you're prepared to put your weight behind?
So unions have always been branded as being racist in this debate. What we're trying to do is make sure that there's rigour in the system so that Australians get access to these jobs and that employees go through all the necessary steps. If there is detail around it to that effect, then great. We'll sit down and we'll have the conversations with the government to make sure that this is put into place and it's going to benefit everyone. At the moment, there's no detail other than just a few headlines. And we strongly believe that, you know, if you're in the manufacturing sector listening today, if you're in the construction industry listening today, you'll be surprised to know that a large amount of your occupations are listed in this occupational list. So despite it being called a 457 visa or whatever.
But aren't they listed because there are genuine and deep skill shortages in that area?
Well, Innes Willicks was on your radio station earlier this morning talking about the example of goat herders. Some of these occupations have sat on that list for a long time. And as I mentioned earlier, there is no system in place to properly continually review. And so we would argue that those occupations, there are not shortages, that it needs to be updated and regulated more stringently to make sure that, like the mining boom tapering off, like the car industry closing, like the aluminium industry down in Point Henry shutting a few years ago, that's taken into consideration and that those skills removed from the list so that those workers can find those opportunities.
You disappointed that Labor didn't, you know, get behind a policy like this earlier?
I think there's a good opportunity for the Labor Party now to come out and strengthen the position. I personally believe that the announcements today don't go far enough.
So what would you like Labor to come out and do now?
I think as minimum, they should come out and outline their policy in detail. They've long held a position in regards to labour market testing and having more stringent procedures in place, and we've supported that. But I certainly feel as though having some independent review around that labour market testing, properly reviewing the occupational list, that is important. I think they can come out and say that today.
Do you accept the government's critique of Bill Shorten, who, of course, was the leader of the same union you're a leader of, that he presided over a great expansion of foreign workers coming in when he was minister?
No, I don't think that's correct.
But the figures show that that is correct?
No, I think my understanding is that it's the immigration minister, not the employment minister, who
makes
those decisions.
They were all in government.
That's true. They were in government at the time. The Prime Minister has had a long fascination with the Australian Workers Union. He's been one of our biggest promoters of late. No, I certainly don't agree with that categorisation. If I was to pick between Malcolm Turnbull and Bill Shorten, I know who has the best history in standing up for Australian workers.
Oh, no surprises there from you, Daniel. Thanks for coming in.
Thanks, Patricia.
That's Daniel Walton. He's the National Secretary of the Australian Workers Union.